Chapter 10. "Did you find anything interesting in Ruth's car?" Lexi asked Jack that night over dinner, trying to act as nonchalant as possible. It was the first time she'd talked to him all day, and her doubts from the conversation with Cassie earlier still lingered. She'd considered just coming right out and confronting him about what she'd overheard her best friend say to John, but given the current tensions between them, she didn't want to make things worse or cause a small disagreement to go into a complete meltdown. She wasn't even sure if what she'd overheard had anything to do with her. Cassie had said it didn't, and her best friend wouldn't lie, especially if it was something important about Jack.
"Honey, you know I can't really say too much about an ongoing investigation," he said around a bite of corn.
He'd been quiet since he'd gotten home, which wasn't like him. He barely gave her a peck on the cheek tonight, and certainly no wine or roses. The ache in Lexi's chest intensified.
"We were able to determine that the rusted-out orange Jeep on the scene belonged to the victim."
"Oh, really?" She swallowed a bite of pork chop without really tasting it. Between the current strain on her relationship with Jack and the fact she and the ladies had found precious little in their own search of Ruth's car, that tidbit of information gave them virtually nothing to go on. "Anything else?" Jack gave a one-shoulder shrug, still not meeting her gaze.
"There was no evidence of anyone cutting the fence or breaking into the property at the storage place. The fence is pretty high and surrounds the property, so that suggests the killer came and went by car also."
Lexi perked up a bit. Now that was something she could work with. She snuck a tiny piece of meat to Sprinkles, who sat dutifully at her feet, then swallowed a bite of her roll and sighed. "Interesting. What about the murder weapon? Did they find any DNA from the murderer on it? Perhaps anything out of place at the crime scene?" Jack gave her a wary look over the rim of his glass. He set it down with a decisive thump on the table and frowned.
"The coroner said Wilson was killed with a small wireless drill, and the news reported that earlier. Forensic testing of samples from the wound site showed traces of titanium from the drill bit. Nothing else conclusive. Why are you asking me all these questions tonight, honey?"
"Oh, no reason." Lexi took a sip of her water, averting her gaze as her cheeks heated. A super spy she was not, apparently. Still, getting Jack annoyed was better than no response from him at all. "Just curious about your day is all. Sounds like it was pretty gruesome with all those titanium drill bits and wound forensics." Jack exhaled and shoved his mashed potatoes around on his plate with his fork.
"That wasn't even the worst of it. The ME also said that whoever killed Wilson drilled right into his pacemaker and stopped his heart dead."
"Wow." Stunned, Lexi blinked at her husband for several seconds. "That's horrible. I didn't even know that was possible." She shook her head while cataloging the information in the back of her mind to share with the ladies later. "And you think the killer got the drill from inside Ruth's storage bay?" Lexi tried to remember the inside of the bay. It had been small, but she didn't remember a lot of tools inside. Why would Ruth have tools? Maybe they had been Nunzio's.
"That's what the evidence suggests. But my instincts say not. I'm guessing the murderer brought that weapon with them."
Jack pushed his half-eaten plate of dinner away, then sat back in his seat, his handsome face etched with fatigue.
"Titanium drill bits are used specifically for metalworking. They're not something the ordinary person would have in their toolkit, and they aren't used on cars, unless maybe you want to drill out the VIN number to erase it."
"Huh." Lexi finished her roll, then stood to clear their plates. Sprinkles followed her to the sink, glancing from the dishes to her bowl, apparently hoping Lexi would scrape some scraps into it. "Interesting. And it certainly sounds like you're right. Ruth would have no reason to have one of those lying around near her car. And she wouldn't have a need to drill out her VIN number. She owned the car.
He shrugged and shook his head. Honestly, nothing with those ladies would surprise me anymore. Funny thing is, though, the drill we took into evidence at the crime scene wasn't the one used to kill Sherman Wilson. That drill is still missing. The only thing the one we've got was used for was to bore through the lock on the vehicle door.
Really? Lexi turned around at the sink and rested her hip against the edge of the counter, scowling. What about the blood on it, though?
Jack raised an inquisitive brow at her.
What?
She lowered her gaze. I saw the Tex carrying the evidence bag to the van that day, is all. I'm curious.
His snort suggested he didn't buy that excuse for a second. Still, he thankfully let it drop.
Looks like it was just from the blood pooled on the floor from the victim near where the drill was lying. The team's still testing it for that, though.
Right. Lexi forced a smile and continued rinsing the plates in the sink before putting them in the dishwasher, grateful to be facing away from her husband's too perceptive gaze.
What about fingerprints? There weren't many, outside of Ruth's and Nunzio's. Based on the lint fibers found on the car's door handle, it appears our killer wore cotton gloves.
The tension in Lexi's shoulders lessened. The only other person she'd seen wearing gloves this far into summer was Ruth, that day in the taxi, but hers were leather, not cotton. As if reading her mind, Jack asked,
"Didn't I see Ruth wearing a pair of white gloves that day at the crime scene?"
"What?" She fumbled a plate while sliding it into the dishwasher, barely managing to catch it before it crashed to the floor. Surely the police wouldn't suspect poor Ruth of killing that man.
No, I mean, yes, she was wearing gloves, driving gloves, but they were leather, not cotton. Driving gloves sometimes have cotton fibers inside. Oh, the Tex also found scattered flakes of puff pastry around the scene, like the kind you use in your cream puffs.
The muscles between Lexi's shoulder blades knotted once more. What exactly was Jack trying to get at? Did he think the Ladies Detective Club had something to do with the killing of Sherman Wilson? Did he think Lexi did, too? She glanced at him over her shoulder. The thought both annoyed and terrified her. Surely Jack knew her better than that, knew her grandmother better than that. He loved her. They loved each other, right? Any puff pastry you found at the scene probably came from that box of cream puffs I gave the ladies to eat while we waited for you and your team to arrive. You know how they love my baked goods. In fact, Ida had at least two that day. I saw her brush the crumbs off her top myself.
Jack's stoic facade faltered slightly under her irritated tone. A small smile quirked one side of his mouth. All right, all right. I wasn't trying to suggest anything about Nans and the ladies. Just answering your question was all, honey. Oh, and there was one other odd thing they discovered. Near the front bumper of the car, an old buffalo nickel charm. There was a hole drilled through the top and a tiny metal hoop, like the kind you'd find on a charm bracelet. Looked like a real antique coin, too.
Huh. Lexi finished loading the dishwasher, then turned to wipe down the table. I'll save you some detective work, then, and let you know that Ruth has a charm bracelet like that. She just had it made, actually, using coins she found inside the Olds. She was wearing it the morning we went to pick up her car and the clasp broke. When she went to pick it up off the ground is when she discovered Sherman Wilson's body and... Lexi stopped at Jack's narrowed stare.
What? You don't find it odd that her bracelet just happened to break at the exact place where a dead body was stashed?
Indignation flared inside Lexi. What was he trying to say? He had some nerve, implying Ruth's bracelet getting caught wasn't just an accident, especially with the way he'd been acting all weird lately. Without thinking, she blurted out, "Nice of you to let me know my car was ready earlier." Jack wrinkled his nose.
"What are you talking about, honey?" Obviously, you were too busy finding ways to implicate my grandmother and her friends to call or text me yourself.
Wait a minute.
Jack held his hands up in defense.
You're mad because I had John relay the message through Cassie? I was just trying to be efficient, is all. Since Cassie already had him on the line, I thought it would save time to just have her tell you. And since it was close to quitting time at the bakery, I figured you could catch a ride to the body shop with her.
Arms crossed, Lexi frowned. When he put it that way, it sounded downright logical, which only served to irk her more. She tried never to be a drama queen, but right now she felt confused and vulnerable and completely discombobulated, and she didn't like it one bit. She grasped the end of her long mink-brown ponytail, which hung over her shoulder, toying with it absently. Jack remained silent, his expression cautious as he watched her as if she were a ticking time bomb ready to explode. Even Sprinkles seemed to pick up on the tension curdling in the air between them. She whimpered and ran to her dog bed in the corner. To defuse the situation, Lexi forced herself to take a deep breath, then refocused on her friend's defense. You can't honestly think Ruth had anything to do with that man's murder, Jack. You know her. She wouldn't hurt a flea. None of the ladies would.
I suppose not, Jack said after a beat. And it does seem hard to picture a woman of Ruth's age able to open that storage bay door without assistance.
Lexi refrained from saying that she'd seen Ruth do that very thing with ease. That certainly wouldn't help Ruth at all at this point. Instead, she dried her hands on a nearby dish towel and chuckled, the sound nervous and stilted even to her own ears.
True. And then there's the fact she has no motive, either.
That we know about, Jack said cryptically.
Seriously, Lexi said, exasperated. Why in the world would Ruth kill that man, then volunteer to return first thing in the morning with a bunch of witnesses?
No one would expect it, Jack said. Most killers would avoid the place. Sounds pretty clever to me. And those ladies are nothing if not clever.
Not giving up so easily, Lexi continued to plead Ruth's case. You said the lock was cut. Ruth wouldn't have to do that. She had the key.
Maybe Wilson cut the lock before she got there.
Honestly, Jack, you need to stop. Ruth's our friend, not a suspect in your case.
He snorted and stood, stretching before walking over and sliding his arms around Lexi's waist, pulling her stiff form against him.
Well, she has been known to cavort with criminals, after all. Nunzio Bartoli wasn't exactly a choir boy.
No, she sighed, her husband's warmth melting her resistance despite her wishes to the contrary. Unable to resist, she slid her palms up his chest and met his gaze, not missing the twinkle in his eye. He was teasing her, darn him. They'd been married long enough to know which buttons to push on the other for maximum effect. Both a blessing and a curse. Jack broke into a full-blown grin, and his good humor was infectious. Soon, Lexi found herself smiling back at him, her suspicions and hurt from earlier buried beneath an avalanche of affection. She gave a small shrug.
I guess you're right.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, please?
What?
The you're right part. I hear it so rarely these days.
She gave him a look, and Jack laughed and pulled Lexi into a tight hug.
Sorry, honey. I couldn't resist getting it going a bit. And I'm sorry about not calling you myself earlier today about your car. It was an honest, if stupid, mistake. I didn't think anything of it and never meant to upset you. Please forgive me.
She buried her nose in his neck, loving the musky, woodsy scent of his aftershave. When she was in Jack's arms, she'd forgive him nearly anything. He's hiding something. She shoved the traitorous thought deep and clung tighter to her husband. Jack was here. Jack had apologized. Jack loved her and she loved him. Everything was fine. You're forgiven.
Thank you, honey. Oh, And tell Ruth when you see her tomorrow that she needs an oil change.
Jack kissed the top of her head, then pulled back slightly to meet her gaze.
Okay?
Okay, but what makes you think I'm going to see her tomorrow? She said, smiling. Jack gave her a quick kiss on the lips, then pulled away.
Because I know you, and I know the ladies. Just promise me you'll be careful, and that you'll call me if you get into any sticky situations. All right?
Lexi trailed after him toward the living room, the warmth of familiarity swelling inside her. It wasn't exactly a blessing on her snooping, but she'd take it. The niggle of doubt inside her reared its ugly head one last time. Maybe he's giving you freedom so you won't poke into his business. But as they snuggled on the sofa in the living room, she felt safe and protected in his arms. And for tonight, at least, all was right with their little world.